happy 2018. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host and producer of ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, every afternoon from noon to one here on KKFI. So happy 2018. We made it another year. And so we say goodnight to 2017. And we're here in the studio live. We've got Dana Knapp with Arts KC. We have songwriter, poet K.W. Perry. We have Michael Schoenhoff and Jonah Criswell here in the studio. We've got some wonderful things to start off the 2018 calendar of arts, and we're going to get started. So I want to introduce Dana Knapp of Arts KC, and she's going to talk about not only the 15th Annual Awards Luncheon, but so many more things that are coming up in Arts KC. So welcome, my friend Dana.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You bet. You know, every year we look forward to the annual awards luncheon, and, you know, although that's not till Thursday, March 8th, it's time to start kind of making plans for that, right?
It is. We're excited, and as you stated, planning has been in the works for some time. It's a big event, not only for Arts KC, but for the Kansas City region. This is really our community, our region's opportunity to celebrate the arts. It's typically 1,000, right around 1,000 like-minded arts lovers coming together to really celebrate the impact and the power of that industry in our region. This year is our 15th year, which is kind of hard to believe. It's exciting. It'll occur Thursday, March 8th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Kansas City Convention Center. This is also an opportunity for us to recognize those that make an outstanding contribution to our region through the arts, and we will be recognizing 15 finalists. One honoree will be selected from 5 award categories. So some excitement there. Also exciting, a past inspiration grant, 2-time inspiration grant recipient, Cheryl Eva Costa, was selected to be our featured artist. So she will be contributing to the overall look and feel of the luncheon. And then, of course, we have some, typically have some featured performers. And this year it's the likes of David Justin and of Park University's Kenny Broberg. So it'll be an action-packed and exciting luncheon as usual.
Well, and it's a great way not only to celebrate the arts, but to, again, honor the awards finalists. And there are several of them. And you have Virtuoso, Advocate, Education, Innovator, Creative Impact, and so on. So let's talk about those folks.
Absolutely. So the Virtuoso, these are the different categories. Mm-hmm. Virtuoso are individuals that exemplify dedicated volunteerism, contribution, really leadership over the years to our region. And our finalists this year, Karen Holland, David Oliver, and Mary Tierney. Three stellar individuals that have been long contributors and stalwarts and advocates for the arts throughout the region. And then second is our advocate award, elected or public figures. And these are individuals that have both in their professional capacity, but through their policy making and leadership, have been advocates for the arts. And that's Mayor Carl Gerlach, Councilman Scott Taylor, and then Senator Jason Holzman. So those three are queuing up in that category. And then, you know, as we all know, key to successful education and advancement leading to workforce development is arts education. And so this year, three exciting finalists, both schools and or districts using arts as a tool. And it's Academy for Integrated Arts here in KCMO, Liberty Public School District, who they're doing some innovative things with arts integration, and the Paseo Academy of Fine and Performing Arts. So that's queuing up for Arts Ed. Other categories, the innovator, nonprofits. Those are nonprofits providing arts education opportunities to underserved communities and creating innovative partnerships. that build unique programs and work within the community. And we have three exciting organizations queuing up there as finalists: the Inner Urban House, the Kansas City Friends of Alvin Ailey, Kansas City Artists Coalition. Those three, again, familiar and doing remarkable work within our region. And then Creative Impact, the metropolitan area businesses that foster innovation. So these are individual organizations or companies that really partner and work alongside arts organizations to ensure that we have this industry and this ambient success within our region. Bank of America is a finalist, Buttonwood Financial Group, and Spencer Fain.
You know, we need one another to make this a terrific creative community, and we're grateful for all those finalists, awards finalists, and performers, the featured artists and all, and of course, grateful to Arts KC, who brings us all together for this 15th annual awards luncheon. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. You know, in our organization, we talk about our purpose of this luncheon, and some days we feel like it's a promoting and celebrating, really highlighting these individuals and arts within our industry. But we also talk about the fact that it's for advocacy. It's really highlighting and advancing and pushing forward the importance of the arts within our five-county region and beyond.
Well, and I understand that the mission of Arts KC is to unleash the power of the arts, so that's keeping with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, Arts KC has been around for some years now, hasn't it?
It has. We are approaching our 20th year. In 2019.
So, what did we do without you before? You know, it's crazy to think that you didn't exist, and we're grateful that you're here.
Well, we like to be, this is a strong community. It's a strong industry within our region. Arts KC likes to position ourselves as being in service to that industry. So we want to remain nimble and responsive to the needs of the industry. We have a lot going on. We have a lot of great leaders, a lot of organizations, a lot of companies and corporations that believe in the richness and the importance of arts and culture in our region. So we just enjoy being a part of that.
You know, if you've just tuned in to Arts Art Speak Radio, I'm talking to Dana Knapp, the director of Arts KC. We're talking about the 15th annual awards luncheon and all the many services that Arts KC offers in their almost 20 years. And, you know, I do want to mention the website for Arts KC, artskc.org, right?
Our organizational website is artskc.org, but we also just this year launched a promotional website for arts organizations and events, and that's artskcgo.com. And we launched in June a portion of the website that highlights events in our region, and then we just soft launched an artist registry, and we can look forward to a module that supports arts education, public art, and then resources for the arts industry in Kansas City. So we have a lot coming forward with artskcgo.com.
So if people want to partake of the artskcgo.com, do they contact you to be added to the calendar, or how does that work?
They can. They can go online and register if you're a not-for-profit arts organization, or you can just call Arts KC, and we can connect you with Mariah Hilson, who is really the manager and the leader of artskcgo.com.
And I want to mention that Arts KC is located in the Crossroads area, just off Southwest Boulevard, right?
It is. It is. So we are in the heart of that particular arts community.
And Dana, if you could tell us some things to look forward to in 2018 with Arts KC. Again, you mentioned that you're coming up on your 20th year. Is there something that's going to help, you know, begin that 20th anniversary celebration?
Well, just looking ahead, we are ramping up our advocacy efforts. Last fall, we launched the release of some research that builds the case for the arts. It was Arts and Economic Prosperity. We partnered with the Americans for the Arts. So really making the case for the arts. So advocacy is something a space we're actively moving into. In addition to that, just really wanting to highlight our partners and the organizations in Kansas City, we have two Arts Encounter events coming up that you can sign up for on our website. The first one is Arts Encounter. It's January 25th, and that's at Arrowhead Stadium. We're partnering with Mizuma Credit Union, and it'll be a tour for the Arrowhead Arts Collection. So really wanting to connect the public with the arts offerings in the region. The second one is Arts Encounter on March 3rd, and that's Underground Storling Dance Theaters, their 10th anniversary at the Kauffman Center. So really wanting to draw the public in to that opportunity. Citizens Day for the Arts in Jefferson City is February 7th. So we are taking a bus and doing some advocacy training, setting up some meetings. So if you want to participate in advocating for the power of the arts, you can sign up to join us on a bus trip to Jefferson City to advocate for public funding for the arts
and it's
on
well
February
worth it.
7th.
Yeah. You know, so for more information about that or for people to sign up to take the trip to Jeff City, they would find that on your website?
They would find that on our website, artskc.org.
Yeah, I've taken many trips to Jeff City, gosh, probably 20 years ago or so, but it's always good to do that. Again, I want to mention the 15th Annual Awards Luncheon. Although it's March 8th, it's not too soon to begin thinking about, you know, planning for that and making reservations for that. It's Thursday, March 8th, 2018 at the Kansas City Convention Center, the Grand Ballroom, from 11 to 1 p.m., and so that will take place. The event co-chairs are Cannon and Rachel Kozad, and honorary chair Bob Brunier of Bank of Blue Valley.
Correct.
Yeah. And there's going to be performers, the featured artist, Cheryl Eva Acosta. Yeah, very good. And what else? Now, we only got through to March, but again, you've got something going on constantly throughout the year, right?
We do. Looking out a little, well, actually in February, we start back up our first Fridays. There's an artist that's on view in our space, John Davis Carroll Landscapes. So you can venture into our space even on first Fridays to get to know artists that we feature. Also coming up in the spring, early summer, will be deadlines associated with our grants, funding and investment in the arts. So inspiration grants coming up for individual artists, and then catalyst grants for arts organizations and other organizations that have arts-related programming. And so the more information and those deadlines are upcoming.
And that's really important to note because, you know, with the deadlines coming up, that you don't want to miss that. You want to, you know, plan accordingly and get everything that you want together to apply, you know.
Correct. And we will post those deadlines, and I encourage anyone interested in applying to reach out to Arts KC. Heather Beffa is on point to our grants manager to support anyone, organizations, individuals who want to seek funding. We really attempt to make that as a supportive process as possible.
Terrific. Is there anything that we left off that you want to mention at this time, Dana?
I don't think so. I encourage everyone to get involved. We have a few things that are at the top of the list that are on Arts KC Go that either end this weekend or are notable.
Yeah.
Yid Life Crisis at the White Theater, Saturday, January 6th. Chesapeake at the Unicorn Theater, I think it's ending this weekend, January 7th. Last chance to see the Outwin 2016 American Portraiture today at the Kemper Museum. That's coming to us from the Smithsonian. We are the only venue in this region. That's certainly worth seeing. And then music, listening party with drummer Sam Wiseman, presented by the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra on Monday, January 8th. So I encourage you to go to artskcgo.com. These are at the top of the list there and important to see this weekend.
I just have to say, we love our Sam Wiseman. He's a DJ here on Mondays, Jazz in the Afternoon. from 1 to 3, I believe. And he's just, and you know, I think it makes a difference when you're listening to music and understand that the people who are doing the programming and producing are musicians themselves. Mm-hmm. So thank you for doing that, Sam. We love you. And, yeah, so again, let's give the website.
ArtsKC.org is our organizational website. If you want to become involved as a participant and partake in our many offerings throughout the region, it's ArtsKCGo.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dana Knapp. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you for having us.
Director of ArtsKC. And next up, we're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to have Jonah Criswell here in the studio with us. Stay tuned. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, your host and producer every Wednesday. We're on noon to one, following Mark Manning's Wednesday Midday Medley. And since he did a tribute to Bowie, I just felt that it was fitting to do my sort of response to that. Next up, we have the amazing assistant professor at the Kent City Art Institute, Jonah Criswell, here in the studio. We love our Jonah. We never get enough of him. Certainly not enough of his cats. So welcome, my friend. Why don't you pull that up a little bit closer to you?
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Yeah, you can raise it a little bit. Yeah, just getting a little sort of settled in here. So, you know, Jonah's been very active as, not only as an educator, but in the galleries, in organizing, curating shows. And we're going to talk about an upcoming exhibition that he organized along with Kelly John Clark.
Yep.
Very good. So welcome, my friend.
Oh, welcome. Well, thank you so much for having me. Kelly and I are organizing an exhibition called All Tomorrow's Parties. It's a group exhibition at La Esquina. We worked with the Charlotte Street Foundation, who is wonderful. And the exhibition opens on Friday, January 26th, and runs to Friday, February 24th. And there's additional programming. On Friday, February 2nd, we're going to have a video performance by Aaron Stork and a film screening with a brief introduction by Dr. Melissa Lanos of Donnelly College and some Q&A afterwards, as well as a closing reception on the 24th. So.
Yeah, and you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to get you in here early is because I think you're on break right now for another week or so,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to have you in live in the studio, because otherwise you're in the classroom and on campus. But this show opens the 26th of January, and it's at La Esquina at 1000 West 25th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. But let's talk about the title. It's All Tomorrow's Parties. And I just want to begin with, our world is increasingly strange, as sort of the description.
Yeah. Kelly and I have studios in the same building, and we're always talking to each other and looking at each other's work. And one of the things that created the thesis behind the exhibition is that the world is increasingly strange, and the bizarre has become oddly normalized. And we're also seeing this sort of response amongst these artists, that they're beginning to use imagery that's sort of informed by this increasingly, you know, chaotic world, and they're kind of digesting it personally and then producing these beautiful and uncanny images. And we wanted to get everyone together and have an exhibition that celebrates that and then begins to look towards the future.
Well, I understand there's collage and drawing, some garments, paintings, and mm-hmm. such.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a pretty wide-ranging exhibition. There'll be some light-based installations, drawings, collages. There's going to be a beautiful painting sculpture by Alan Winkler that we're really excited about. Some small paintings by Will Henry that are coming into town. And, of course, the film screening and drawings and whatnot. So we're really, really proud of the exhibition.
Well, and because that space is so large, you're going to really cover a lot of ground in that, right?
That's the idea.
It's a very large space. And I want to say that gathered together, the artists call attention to the qualities of surreal that now seem every day. And then there are questions that are asked. Will it stay this way? How bizarre will the future become? Can we be at home in this new world? So All Tomorrow's Parties invites viewers to consider these questions and more. So you have a total of, what, about eight artists that are participating? Yeah. And give us some of the names.
So Corey Antis, Kelly Clark, Hadley Clark, Jonah Criswell, Olivia Gibb, Will Henry, Peyton Pitts, and Alan Winkler. But we're also having some additional featurettes by Aaron Stork and Lee Pachocki.
And then again, the closing reception and panel discussion that follows on Friday, February 24th, right?
Which is also Peyton's birthday.
Oh, great, great. What should we bring?
Yeah, right.
Now, will your cats be participating in this show?
Hopefully not.
You know what? We love you, Jonah. We know about your work and all the things that you do in the community, but we really like your cats. We just got to say that.
Thank you. I'm sure they're listening, and they're,
Curtis,
they're of course,
Curtis is, you know, just in the spotlight. You know, and aside from this particular exhibition that you helped organize, All Tomorrow's Parties, you've got some other things coming up that
it's
we
true.
Were talking about in the green room. Let's discuss that.
Yeah. Dana and I were actually just talking in the green room, and a couple of years ago, I was a recipient of an Arts KC Inspiration Grant that helped fund a residency in Berlin. There, I met a curator named Miriam Cassandra Wendt. And a couple years later, we put together a Kansas City and Berlin Exchange exhibition. This exhibition opened in Berlin in October and is going to be traveling to Kansas City this summer.
Man, that's great. And I know that you and I had talked about that, and that we will bring that discussion here to the studio when it takes place.
Oh, I look forward
this
to it.
Summer. Yeah. Because I know as a professor, you're very busy with the academic stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
So that all came about from the Inspiration Grant, you say?
Yeah, actually, Michael Schoenhoff told me a little
Who
bit about a wonderful residency in Berlin, and then I applied and got in, and ArtsKC, their Inspiration Grant, supported that travel, and I was there for a month, and I met wonderful artists and got to see some gorgeous things, and also I met Miriam, and she's been a wonderful advocate for the arts. And it really introduced me to Berlin in a wonderful way. So I'm hoping to introduce her to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And she's been over the moon with the artists in Kansas City. So she just sent me a video of the fireworks over the skyline in Berlin for Happy New Year's. And it's just really touching to keep that connection going.
If you just tuned in to RSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Professor Jonah Criswell, who's at the Kansas City Art Institute, a painter, artist. He put together, organized an exhibition called All Tomorrow's Parties, which we've talked about. That's opening January 26th at La Esquina, and also an upcoming summer gathering of your friend that you met in Germany. Now, when you're overseas like that, of course, you know, it's a different culture, a different, place. How does it inspire your current work, or what does that input do to your brain when you're looking at other art from another country?
Oh, that's a great question. One of the things that I really was impressed with was the similarities between Kansas City and Berlin. They have a really strong art community, of course, but the art community also has that sort of great Kansas City DIY feel. Mm-hmm. So they're opening up exhibition spaces. They have some really like high quality exhibition spaces and museums. And so there's this really wonderful feeling of camaraderie. But how it affected my work, I think in a number of ways, the time there with the other artists who were from Australia and the New England states and Norway and Sweden, the conversation that I had with them was equally influential. So it took a couple of years to really kind of unpack. A lot of them did really exciting work that was collage-driven, which is I'm finding in my studio now. And then they also did a lot of work that was a little bit more fearless in some ways. They were really funny, which was really shocking to see. Mm-hmm. So that's found its way into my studio. But just the encouragement over the years. You know, we're all friends on Facebook, so when we post an image, or on Instagram, when we post an image, they're like, oh, great, man, that's wonderful. And, you know, my friend David from Australia is just such a wonderful advocate, so that we keep in touch and support each other's work as it goes forward.
Well, and I think it's important to have those relationships with people outside of Kansas City, outside of the country, because I think it perhaps offers a fresh look at what's happening in Kansas City. sure. you know, as a creative community. And, of course, it always makes sense to look at other work outside of your own, outside of, you know, the region and that sort of thing, to influence and sort of get a pulse of what's happening elsewhere, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And actually, Marcy Miller Gross, she was going to a residency in Berlin, and she asked me a little bit about Miriam, and I put them in contact. And Marcy, just the other day, she said, oh, Miriam sent me this wonderful list of all the really great small galleries in Berlin. And I told Marcy, I said, well, if Miriam comes into town this summer, you got to come out to dinner with us.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So the generosity of hosts is a really lovely thing, and it keeps us awake, alive, and alert. So, yeah.
You know, and again, going back to the green room, one of the conversations that we had, we have to do this. We have to give a shout out to Christina Munez.
Oh, yeah.
In San Antonio. Wonderful. We love her. She's a mutual friend of ours and is doing making some incredible work there. So, you know, Kansas City's lost, but I know she's not really gone forever. She's in San Antonio. So,
yeah, we
hello,
will continue
Christina.
To drag her back. She's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let's go back to All Tomorrow's Parties. How did this conversation take place? How did this exhibition occur? How did it all come together?
Well, you know, originally Kelly and I were thinking of a much smaller exhibition. And when we sent our proposal into Charlotte Street, we had a sit-down conversation with them. And they really inspired us to kind of grow the exhibition. And so it was through this kind of collaborative discussions that we started to look at the exhibition that we had that was focusing on the same themes, and then began to kind of grow it. And we started looking around the community, and we saw friends of ours that were making really exciting new work and people that we didn't know quite that well, so we could kind of reach out to them. And, you know, over doing studio visits and seeing works that are coming up, there's some really courageous and outstanding things that are happening. And so, and part and parcel, it's been us responding to what we saw when we started looking into our community and doing studio visits in the late summer and early fall, that really kind of solidified our convictions about this exhibition being something celebratory, something looking towards the future, but also recognizing where we're at right now is in a unique space and time where artists are reflecting these changes in very personal and beautiful ways.
But as I refer to the write-up, again, I'm going to say that the surrealists responded to a world coming undone by war, economic crisis, and political instability. Doesn't this also sound like our world? The artists of All Tomorrow's Parties are driven to varying degrees by the impulse of surrealism. So, yeah. I mean, that's a huge.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But, you know, in many ways, I think that it's a really human thing to look towards the dreamlike in a moment of uncertainty and to begin to fantasize about, you know, one's past and one's present in anticipation for the future. But at the same time, I think that, you know, we're doing this the second time around in a lot of ways. So we have this sort of goalpost, this guiding line with what happened in the early 20th century to the mid-20th century with surrealism and artwork that was influenced by those kinds of ideas. And so artists nowadays also have this really great self-awareness that they know they're doing this, and they know that it has a historical precedent in a very recent way. So seeing some of the artist's work, you know, I just did a studio visit with Peyton Pitts last night, and of course she has like Chagall and Gauguin books that she will produce her work and then look at those and meditate on them. And I think that that's a really, it brings a lot of richness to the exhibition and to the artist's works.
Absolutely. And again, that is January 26th, which is on a Friday. Opening reception is from 6 to 9 at La Esquina, 1000 West 25th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And Jonah, please share with us your website for more information, because I know folks like to see what our guests are making, what they're doing, what their work is about, and just really kind of catch up with folks. So,
oh, thank you. My website is jonahcriswell.com. And Charlotte Street and all of the participating artists are going to be promoting the exhibition both on Instagram and Facebook in the coming weeks. So look out for that.
Yeah, and I suspect that this event will be on the Charlotte Street Foundation website. I know I looked today and it wasn't there, but it's going to be up soon. I know Mason was working on that, so thank you for that, Mason. Is there anything that we've left out that we should mention?
Well, I would say that we are doing a lot to make this exhibition have a lot of really wonderful surprises. So if you...
Like what?
Well, I want to keep that close to the chest a little bit because there's some lovely things. But I think that all three of
it's no surprise if you tell me.
All three of the programming dates, so the opening and reception, this film screening on February the 2nd, and then the closing reception, there's going to be something special happening at each one of those. So I encourage you all, if you are at all interested, then that's something to think about.
Cats and hats? Is that what we're looking at? Is that what we're talking about?
No. Despite my best efforts, apparently that just never goes through, the cats and the hats thing.
And all of the other, the film screening and closing reception will be at La Esquina. And again, that's Friday, February 2nd for the film screening with the intro by Dr. Melissa
Lenos.
And also the closing reception Friday, February 24th. So, yeah. Do people need to make reservations, or they just kind of show up and...
No. Okay. Please just come by. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, very good. Jonah, it's been too long since we've had you in the studio.
Well, I look forward to being back. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. And much luck to you, and we'll check that out. So thanks so much.
Take care.
Uh-huh. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And this is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, your host and producer, every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m. here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Hope you can hear me well. I'm just trying to get over this junk that everyone else has been passing around to one another. Feel free to listen to us online at kkfi.org and download our podcast at the same website, kkfi.org, and iTunes. You can subscribe to those podcasts. So next up, we have the wonderful Michael Schoenhoff, who's going to talk about Chance Diaries, Dream Things by Christopher Leach. It's a visual art exhibition, and we're very excited to have Michael in, because it's been a while, hasn't it, Michael?
It has, Maria. Thank you very much for having me.
Happy New Year to you, kiddo. So now the Kansas City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery, the Center for Contemporary Practice, is pleased to present Chance Diaries, Dream Things by Christopher Leach. Christopher's work is just beautiful. Haunting, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. It's amazing. He's had incredible practice over the years.
Yes, and you know, he's also been a costume designer, artist, illustrator, poet, graphic designer, museum director. You know, when I met him, it was when I started at the Art Institute, probably in 89 or 90, something along that line, and I've known him that long, and he was bringing some terrific programming then to the Art Institute, you know, back in the day when I guess they could actually... kind of bring people, you know.
Indeed.
Yeah, Jim Dine and, you know, all kinds of people to the Art Institute.
Yes.
So his work is going to be at the Crossroads Gallery. And where is that located?
KCIA Crossroads Gallery is 1819 Grand Boulevard. Many of us will also know it as the location previously known as Grand Arts, it was donated to the Art Institute about 2 years ago. And so it's Grand and 18th by the old Kansas City Star Building.
And Michael, how long have you been working with the Kansas City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery? It's some years now.
So it'd be a little over two and a half years, basically. I've been with the Art Institute for about 10 years, since 2006, 2007. So it's been interesting. It's a kind of a startup, but not really, because the building is already suited for arts and using it. So, it was pretty easy to move in and start getting to work on it, so to speak.
So now his, Christopher's work will kick off the exhibition for the year, right?
Correct, yes.
And do you want to talk about any upcoming events after that?
Yes. The exhibition itself, January 23rd through March 2nd. The 23rd is kind of a soft opening. The two dates to remember I'd like to share is the opening reception, which is first Friday, February 2nd. So some people, you know, like to come down and partake in that, and that's great. So we'll have an event there. But the soft opening allows people who want to see it beforehand without the crowds an opportunity to do that. And then also on Saturday, February 10th at noon, we are going to have a gallery talk and walk through with the artist and myself and talk a little bit more in depth about the project and the pieces and the process and those sorts of things.
And I love doing that because, you know, very seldom do you get the opportunity to have sort of this discussion with an artist and kind of listen to them talk. You know, seeing the finished work is great, but I also want to know sort of what inspired them, what they looked at, what... You know, what went into to making the work.
Exactly. No, yeah. I've been blessed to be able to work with living artists, and that's the key, allowing them to speak about what they're doing in their process as much as they can, and about the work as one sees it, and have that dialogue with them in space. You know, it's really magical.
Because I have one way of seeing the work and then listening to that artist, you know, it's really kind of shifts my thinking. You know, in some ways, when I actually can hear from their own words how that arrived at, you know,
exactly,
the,
and
the
especially
place that it did.
Christopher, he's so thoughtful.
We love our Christopher.
So amazing, and he considers so much in his practice beyond even being an artist. As you said, he's been involved in culture in Kansas City for years, decades, and so it's been great. And I've known Christopher for. You know, since I moved here in 98, basically, and I've worked with him in a lot of different roles and hats that he's had, and this is the first time to really curate him and work specifically as an artist, and so it's been a joy and a pleasure.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And so what else do you have coming up?
Oh, wow. We've got a busy year. We've got Christopher Leach, and then after that, we have a regional Scholastics exhibition. So we are the exhibition site for the National Scholastics Award. So our region is Missouri and a little bit of eastern Kansas. And so we're celebrating high school artists and really, you know, the cream of the crop and artists who are exerting themselves at an early age and trying to look at that
great.
And what that landscape looks like.
And if you've just tuned in, we are talking to Michael Schoenhoff with the Kansas City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery at 1819 Grand Boulevard. We're talking about upcoming events for the gallery and beginning with Chance Diaries, Dream Things with Christopher Leach. And they are located, again, at 1819 Grand Boulevard. What is the website for folks to look at more information?
Website is simple. It's kcai.edu and click on the Crossroads Gallery on the top, and it'll take you right to our site.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great gallery, the Crossroads Gallery there, the Center for Contemporary Practice. It's very intimate, but it's large enough to you know, make and create in a fairly large space without it being so... Too out there, too big, you know.
Exactly.
It's a great space. Anything else that you can think of that is coming up? Want to mention that again? The soft opening is January 23rd. Did I get that right?
January 23rd. Yes, on a Tuesday.
And what time will that take place?
That'll open at noon on the 23rd. Mm-hmm. So our public hours, which are Tuesday through Friday, noon to 5. And so they will be open those hours that week to see it. And then on Saturday, we're also open by appointment. The Crossroads is interesting on the weekends. It can be busy. And so we want to be available to people or travelers coming in for that. Yes. And one other thing, I'll mention, after the Regional Scholastics Exhibition, which is a short week or two, we have a renowned papermaking artist named Winifred Lutz, who is coming in and going to be working with some students on a gallery installation and working in the studio space in the back as well for a brief residency. So we're excited, you know, in the space, just to kind of continue on and talk about the space a little bit, even with Christopher's exhibition. Not only, you know, were we able to offer him the exhibition space, but that large studio space in the back, you know, his studio at home is a good size, but this allowed him to dream a little bigger and, you know, make some things that he really couldn't in the normal space. So it's nice to be an agent for an artist in that capacity as
I
well.
I love that. Yeah. And I know that you'll be back on air with Christopher. He's going to be in the studio here in a couple of weeks. So we're looking forward to that.
We can ask him the 20 questions then, right?
We can make him cry. We can pull a Barbara Walters. So tell me, Christopher.
That'll be fun. I look forward to that.
Me too. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Michael Schoenhoff, for coming in today. And you will be back, and we look forward to talking to you some more.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You remember this song? Billy Preston, K.W. Perry's up with me next in the studio, and he's shaking his head. Yes, he remembers that. Hello, K.W.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Maria.
You bet. Now, he is an Americana songwriter and Kansas City-based storyteller. He's the author of 4 poetry collections. K.W. Perry is here in the studio. Tales of a Receding Hairline in 2016, Purgatory, Wicked Rhythm and Ozark Howler, the most recent work. And let's talk, mister.
That sounds good.
So the most recent work, Ozark Howler, is a collection of poetry, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So you've been writing for some time, been a songwriter, and I mistakenly asked you in the green room, had you brought your guitar? And he says, well, I'm a songwriter. I'm a lyricist.
Yeah,
a lyricist.
Yeah. So. I write the words and guys that play a lot better than me accompany.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you here. You're also a regular contributor in Veterans Voices, right?
That's correct, and I'm very fortunate to have recently been appointed to the board of directors at Veterans Voices, so I feel like that's quite a privilege, and so very excited to be more actively involved with the organization.
You know, I think that it's so important to, well, that everyone has a voice in their writing, and I noticed that in doing this work with community radio that I've witnessed a lot of work with the veterans, you know, whether it's poetry, art, home, right. You know, small homes and that sort of thing, building. It's important to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you a veteran yourself?
I am. Yeah. I was a hospital corpsman for 4 years active duty in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You're also been published in Australia Times Poetry Magazine and the Gasconade Review. So you're all over. You are actively writing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also wanted to say that The Tales of a Receding Hairline was a semi-finalist in the 2016 Goodreads Best in Poetry 2016. Your work appears in the Vincent van Gogh anthology, Resurrection of a Sunflower 2017, and the
Walsall Poetry Society in Australia.
Yeah. So do you have some work that you want to share with us today?
Sure.
I'd love to hear some work.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
I'll open with a piece called Waiting for Daybreak. Shattered here on the dark city street like a night train bottle tossed from an overpass. He's waiting for daybreak with a gut full of gravel, knowing more suffering is just a stone's throw away.
Wow, that's beautiful. So what feeds your work? What do you find yourself gravitating towards when you begin writing?
Most every piece has a small part of me, even if it isn't you know, directly about me. Mm-hmm. It's life experiences that I've experienced firsthand or through the storytelling of others. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a rural community in north central Missouri, and that was part of who we are up in that neck of the woods. You know, telling one another stories long before the days of social media and so many distractions.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about that in the green room. A lifelong storyteller.
Yeah.
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 And is this something that you feel is important in this day and age, or do you think it's sort of a lost and forgotten gift?
I think we're in the early innings of a real renaissance in storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I think that despite all of the distractions, folks are really coming back to not only storytelling, but, you know, traditional folk music. I see a real resurgence in both of those avenues.
So when you, as a lyricist, when you write for a songwriter or such, what are your lyrics about? What are they, longings? Are they reminiscence? Is it? Tell me what.
It's a little bit of everything. Most generally, whenever I collaborate with other songwriters, it very much has to do with what we've experienced firsthand, whether it be a divorce or the birth of a new baby, or you know, it could be a multitude of topics.
So it's just life unfolding in a sense.
It sure is.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's just really important to emphasize the importance of telling a story when you're writing a song, just like as if you were writing a story or short story or a poem. There's so much music out there that doesn't tell a story, so we really want to make a point to get back to that.
You know, it's interesting. I've had a number of people say that you know, the only interest in a song is as if it tells a story.
That's right.
And, you know, that's really important. I do want to mention that you have some upcoming releases, Gallatin Gallows, Howler Holler, Cockpit Chronicles, that are coming out this year, right?
That's correct.
Wow.
And we will be going into the studio again next week to begin a spoken word project. And that project's going to be called Lawbreaker Blues.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have a poetry collection and a spoken word album. It's going to be kind of an experimental because it'll be my voice for the first time, and then I'll have three local guitar players accompany me, Kenny Marshall, Andy Oxman, who owns Soundworks Recording Studio in Blue Springs, as well as Walt Chambers. So folks here in the community are probably aware of those guys. They've played around clubs here in Kansas City for years.
I love that. I love when you know, different disciplines collaborate, you know, music and writing and poetry and performance and all that. I love that. So I will definitely, and we're not ending the interview right now, but I will definitely invite you back because I want to hear that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and maybe do a live performance here in the studio.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. You know, for folks who want to find out more information, how can they find you out there on the web?
On Facebook, they can find me under KW Peery, and it's P-E-E-R-Y, Lyrics and Poetry, and then on Twitter at KW Peery.
You know, you have just a little bit of a twang.
That's that North Central Missouri rural twang.
It just kind of informs people that, you know, a little Southern or what. Would you read us another piece?
Sure. Yeah. I'd be happy to. I'll read one called Some People Call Them Poems. Beyond the deathbed rattle, you could hear his fragile voice travel on the Santa Ana winds. He said some people call them poems, but in reality, they're just lines written in evaporating ink, entrusted to me in the midst of a dipole moment.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's really lovely. Will you be performing out any in the public anytime soon you want to share with us?
Yeah, I've been blessed to have been invited last year to join John Dorsey and Jason Reberg down at the Osage Arts Community in Bell, Missouri. And they have recently just put out their first issue of the Gasconade Review. And it's all Missouri-based poets featured in the Gasconade Review, so that was very exciting. And then every third Thursday, there is an open mic at Inklings Books and Coffee Shop in Blue Springs on Main. It's owned by Clinton Jarrett and Eve Brackenberry, and they're
good
wonderful
friends.
Hosts.
Yeah,
so.
They really are. And that's out in my neck of the woods. I mean, I, you know, on Independence, and that's okay because I always can make, you know, trips in the city, but it's great to, you know, have that experience outside of, you know, the metropolitan area.
Yeah, and the room there in the coffee shop is perfect for, you know, open mic. And, you know, this time of the year, obviously, if, you know, it's weather permitting, but it's year round, and we generally have a very good you know, group of folks there to read every third Thursday.
And it's a very intimate, I think, setting, and that, you know, no one is a stranger. You all get to be familiar with one another and friends at the end of the day.
So. It feels like family there.
Yeah. Please tell us your information again, contact information for listeners who want to find out more about you.
On Facebook, it's KW Peary Lyrics and Poetry, and on Twitter, it's at KW Peary.
You know, we love having you in the studio. You definitely will have to come back. We'll look at the calendar.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
You bet. Well, thank you for sharing with us. And again, Happy New Year to you, kiddo.
Happy New Year.
All right. Now, that is going to finish out this segment of ArtSpeak Radio. I want to thank Dana Knapp of Arts KC, K.W. Peary, Michael Schoenhoff, and Jonah Criswell. Thank you so much for tuning in and being with us and listening to everything that's happening in the world of arts. Next week, January 10th, we have singer-songwriter, poet Jesse Cates. He's the Sexy Accident. There you are. And KC Arts Angels. And so we'll have that on tap for you next week. Stay tuned next for my good friend and wonderful musician, Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz in the Afternoon. I love saying it like that. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like us on Facebook and download our podcast through our website, kkfi.org. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Honey, I'm coming home.